From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, April 2nd, 2018. And on this day, Republicans in the Maine Senate moved to block implementation of the ranked choice voting system, which could be in place for the June primaries. A gelato company trades on the fact it's from Maine to reach out to the world. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Another turn in the ongoing legal and political fight over ranked choice voting in Maine. Republicans in the Maine Senate this afternoon moved to block implementation of the system, which could be in place for the June primaries. As Steve Missler reports, the GOP is attempting to step into a lawsuit over ranked choice voting.
Republicans are attempting to use their slim majority in the Senate to approve an order that effectively challenges the Secretary of State's authority to implement the ranked choice voting law that nearly 400,000 Mainers approved at the ballot box 2 years ago. The order makes over three dozen claims, among them that state election officials cannot spend money to implement the system without legislative approval. Republicans have blocked efforts to fund implementation. Nonetheless, Republican Senate President Michael Thibodeau insists that the order is not designed to throw another wrench into the system rollout, but instead to provide legal clarity in advance of the June primary.
The one thing we don't want to have is chaos after the vote. We don't want to be trying to figure this all out in court after the fact.
That argument was echoed by Republican State Senator Roger Cates during the floor debate held Monday afternoon. Cates said lawsuits challenging election results were inevitable if the issues outlined in the order are not resolved.
It's not about the policy of ranked choice voting. It's about trying to avoid a chaotic situation and a potential train wreck that I would suggest is right around the corner if we do nothing.
But ranked choice voting supporters and Democrats aren't buying it. Several criticized Republicans for once again blocking a law that was approved by voters. Democratic State Senator Troy Jackson said the order is too expansive and would allow the Senate to sue the Secretary of State.
The broadness of this order concerns all of us to such great regard that there's no way that we can support something like this.
Thibodeau, meanwhile, says he'll attempt to intervene in an ongoing lawsuit between the Secretary of State's office and the group advocating for ranked choice voting. Supporters filed an injunction last week to force the Secretary of State to implement the system after Secretary of State Matt Dunlap warned that a conflict in statutes could scuttle plans to use it for the June 12th primary. Kennebec Superior Court Judge Michaela Murphy is expected to rule on the injunction this week, and it's unclear if the Senate's move on Monday will affect her ruling, but it could cause delays in the nation's first primary election using ranked choice voting, a system purportedly designed to reduce divisive campaigns and eliminate so-called spoiler candidates, all while producing a clear majority winner. Ranked choice voting has had an uncertain go since it was approved in a statewide referendum. Lawmakers delayed implementation and passed a measure that eventually repeals the new system. Ranked choice voting supporters then organized the People's Veto, which will appear on the June ballot, potentially at the same time that Mainers are using the system for the first time. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Maine Senate continued to debate the measure this evening. It's still expected to vote on it. We all know the association between Ben & Jerry's ice cream and its home state of Vermont. The brand is known in all 50 states and 40 different countries. Now, one Maine-based company is looking to become the Ben & Jerry's of gelato. In the latest installment of our export series, It Can Get There From Here, Jennifer Mitchell reports on the makers of Gelato Fiasco, who believe that success is partly about finding the customer who gets you.
Gelato Fiasco recently turned a precocious 10 years old. During that time, co-founder Josh Davis has gone from making a mess in his kitchen and hand-delivering pints in the back of his pickup to supplying more than 5,000 stores.
Today we're making blueberry crisp, which has a gelato, vanilla gelato base, and it has a crisp that's mixed in, and it has a blueberry variegate.
Variegate, in case you're wondering, is a food industry term that basically means blueberry ripples. The process starts with a special mix of locally sourced milk and cream, plus a few other base ingredients that will serve as a blank canvas for the ever-changing flavor combinations. Gelato differs a little bit from ice cream in its lower fat content, slower churn time, and softer consistency. The gelato base is piped through chilled lines to a mixing machine where it picks up nuggets of crunchy oat streusel and ribbons of wild Maine blueberry. Then it's squirted into containers and sent down a high-tech line of robotic capping machines and laser lid checkers, all part of a recent million-plus dollar upgrade. So how did a tiny Maine scoop shop on Main Street in Brunswick evolve into a 1,500-flavor, 12,000-pint-a-day company?
Well, so I grew up in Maine, and I think like every Mainer, you end up growing up saying you can't wait to leave the state.
Well, it turned out to be a good idea, because while at college in Massachusetts, Davis met fellow student Bruno Tropiano, a first-generation Italian-American who introduced Davis to gelato. Both graduated with finance degrees, but it was a shared love of good food that drove them to open the Brunswick Gelato Shop in 2007. Davis still remembers that first official batch, a flavor still made by the company today.
It was actually tiramisu gelato. It tastes better now than the first version of it, but it was pretty good. I mean, nothing to this day, nothing beats eating gelato right out of a batch freezer. That's still pretty awesome.
And Gelato Fiasco was born. By 2012, it expanded to Portland. The next year, the small startup was offering freezer pints in stores. Davis says part of the company's success lies in its carefree aesthetic, which is somewhat self-deprecating. Take its name, for example.
You gotta have a fun with your name so it's memorable. So, and I guess in the cases of some amount of our distribution challenges, it has been a fiasco.
Like any small business that grows very quickly, Gelato Fiasco has not been without its fails. Wacky flavors like chocolate sriracha peanut butter.
I don't know if it was the worst selling flavor ever made, but it had to be right up there.
And the partners have been willing to test out other ideas, from pop-up shops to mystery pints. So it may be no surprise that they were also unafraid of doing a cannonball into the global pool. They targeted South Korea and the Middle East as their early markets.
We put a lot of time and effort into it and had some, you know, initial successes. You know, we did do some sales there, but it never really took off.
Davis says in the case of the Middle East, the main brand may not have translated well with shoppers.
We do trade on the fact that that we're from Maine. That's kind of what, it's a product made by real people in a real place in Maine. And it's sort of inspired by being here and being from here.
In the case of South Korea, Maine was a selling point, but paperwork and bureaucracy became obstacles to doing business. After pulling out of South Korea, Davis says they decided to put dreams of world domination into the deep freeze and instead focus on carving out space in a domestic market.
Hello. How are you, Jennifer?
But that wasn't the end of the company's global story.
My kids, they love the maple syrup and pancake and bacon candy one.
That's Skye Gander, a travel agent in Queensland, Australia, who says she's been eating Gelato Fiasco for the last year. We found her on Facebook, posting a glowing review of one of the varieties. It's just this kind of digital word of mouth that brought the product to the other side of the world in the first place. 2 years ago, Davis says an Australian ice cream company called Peter's phoned him up out of the blue.
The first couple times we talked to them, we sort of asked the same, how did you even hear about this? And they found us on Pinterest, actually. They just liked the look of it. They liked the craftsmanship.
And they thought Australians might just go for the main thing. But Davis had learned from his failures in other overseas markets. Instead of trying to rush notarized frozen samples all the way to Melbourne with a medical supply courier as he'd done in South Korea, he flew himself to Australia and created recipes such as Big County Brownie, Dark Woods of Maine, and Maine Munchies, which Peters then manufactured and now they distribute. And Facebook fans like Skye Gander buy them and write about them. The branding sort of tallies with what Gander thinks that Maine might actually be like.
Active but nature-oriented and just sort of quite real. That sort of equated to the ingredients to me, that it all seemed to be natural, open, honest.
And that's exactly the vibe Josh Davis says he was going for.
There's definitely a mystique about being from Maine. And I think that the reputation that Maine has is that good things come from Maine.
In its first year, Australians consumed more than 400,000 pints. And you can now buy Gelato Fiasco Australia in more than 600 stores across the country. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
A district court judge has granted a protection from abuse order against Seth Carey, a Republican attorney who is running as, rather a Rumford attorney, who is running as a Republican candidate for district attorney in Androscoggin, Franklin, and Oxford counties. The Lewiston Sun Journal reports that the victim believes she was an immediate and present danger from Carey, who she said sexually assaulted her in the home they shared. Reached by telephone Monday, Carey said the allegations are 100% false. He said the woman is a friend who is trying to get out of an abusive relationship and had nowhere else to go.
And I let her stay at my house, and I tried to help her get back on her feet, gave her a place to stay, a car so she could try to work. And when I said that she had to leave, the next day she went and got a PFA. And so it's unfortunate that the system is what it is, but that's one of the reasons I'm running for district attorney, to change the system.
Carey has been suspended from practicing law several times over the past 10 years. He says he understands that may be a liability in his campaign. In the meantime, he says he plans to appeal the protection order against him. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, April 2nd, 2018. Thanks to Susan Sharon, Hugh Shortall, and Fred Bever, and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.